Okay, so welcome to the first shiur of what, God willing, will be many on issues related to Shemitah. And feedback on the Maor HaMikdash is always welcome. I think this is the first time that I'm giving Maor HaMikdash that people really are expected to, you know, to work on. Although you can probably get the shiur even without it, but either way, the topic for the week, and probably next week as well, is whether Shemitah is De'oraisa or De'rabanan today. What I want to get through is sort of the basic questions that are involved of why Shemitah might not be De'oraisa in our day, as well as the views of Rabbeinu Tam and Ramban, and then next week to continue with the view of the Rambam, which it proves somewhat complex. As well as some of the other issues that then spin off from there. But the question of whether Shemitah is De'oraisa De'rabanan is crucial in terms of, obviously, just in general knowing what it is, but also in terms of issues like which malachos are asur leading up to Shemitah, and the question of whether you can use the heter mechira. So knowing what the status of Shemitah is today is very important. So there are two primary questions we need to address. First question is actually relatively straightforward, and that is Israel still Israel, so to speak, in terms of the Kedusha that it once had? And then the second question is whether Shemitah is linked to Yovel, and therefore, if, in fact, Yovel doesn't apply today, then Shemitah doesn't apply either. So in terms of the status of Eretz Yisrael in our day, that goes back to a Gemara in Yevamos, which is an important Gemara to know. In general, a source Aleph on your sheets. In general, on the sheets where you see things in brackets, that's often where I added words just to help clarify things for the reader. But Rashi will always do a better job of that than I will. But if you take a look at source Aleph, the Gemara asks, V'savar Rabbi Yochanan Truma v'zman hazeh de'oraisa? Does Rabbi Yochanan in fact believe that Truma today is biblical? That relates to a discussion, obviously, that's before this in the Gemara. V'atanya, they ask, I have a braisa that says the following. Shtei kupos, you have two boxes of produce. Acha shal chulin v'acha shal truma. Right? One's a chulin box, one's a truma box. V'lifneim shtei se'in. And in front of them, you have two se'ah of produce. Acha shal chulin v'acha shal truma. One chulin, one truma, v'naflu elu besoch elu, and the se'in fell into the boxes. One into one box, one into the other box, but we don't know which one fell into which box. Sahare elu mutarim. Shani omer, truma latoch truma, nafla v'chulin besoch chulin naflu. So I'm good with that. I can assume the truma fell into the truma, the chulin fell into the chulin. That's Rabbi Yochanan's, that's the braisa. V'omer Reish Lakish, v'hu sharabu chulin ala truma. And Reish Lakish says, the only way you can do that is if you have more chulin than you have truma, in terms of the ratio, such that even if the truma fell into the chulin, nonetheless, the chulin will be mevatel, it will override it. That's Reish Lakish's statement. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af pi shelo rabu chulin ala truma. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you don't need the ratio, don't worry about it. So the question is, why does Rabbi Yochanan say, don't worry about it? Why does that make any sense? Vishlam al Reish Lakish kasava bedrabbananami ribu Yehuda ba'inan. I get Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish believes that you need to have the ability to nullify the presence of the truma, even if the whole thing is a derabbanan. That I understand. El Rabbi Yochanan kasha, but Rabbi Yochanan understands. If you're going to tell me that truma is de'oraisa, then how are you able to say, well, I can assume that truma fell into truma, chulin fell into chulin? We don't play games with biblical things. So the Gemara's answer is, Hamani, whose view is this in the Braisa? Rabbanan hi. That's the view of the Rabbanan. Va'ana da'amik Rabbi Yossi. But I personally, Rabbi Yochanan, will say, I follow Rabbi Yossi on this. Disanya b'seder olam asher Yeshua vosecha virishta. The Pasuk says, you come into the land which your ancestors inherited, and you shall inherit. I'm using the word inherit for the verb, you know, Yerusha, or the term Yerusha, even though that's not the accurate translation. In truth, we use the same term to refer to conquest, like Vahorashtem. It seems to mean really taking charge of something, taking ownership of something, whether it's by bequeathing it, someone bequeathed it to a person, or whether it's conquest. But nonetheless, we like to say inheriting for Yerusha. It's a more benign term. So Yerusha Rishona Ushnia Yeshlen Ushlishis Ein Lahen. The position there in Seder Olam, which Rabbi Yochanan says is Rabbi Yossi, is that Eretz Yisrael only undergoes the first Yerusha, meaning under the Jews who come from Mitzrayim, and then the second Yerusha, meaning the ones who come out of Bavel for the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's it. There is no such thing as a third Yerusha. Now it's theirs, and it stays theirs even after they go into Galus by the Romans, and therefore, indeed, it's going to be De'oraisa. That Brisa is saying that it's Derabanan. I personally follow Rabbi Yossi to say that it's De'oraisa. That's his position. And Rashi clarifies that on Shlishis Einlein. I brought it for you here in Source Beis. Klomar loboy lemeader umirsa dirusho medesi. They don't need to conquer it again. It already is theirs. Vashmin and Haikra de lobala kedusha saaretz begalus titus. The point is that it didn't lose its kedusha when they went into Galus under the Romans. So the position here is that you have a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yossi versus the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says it did not lose its second kedusha. The Chachamim say that it did, and the Rishonim are split on the topic. If you take a look, I brought you Rashi and Yuma in sources Gimel and Dalet. The Gemara in Yuma is the classic story, right? Reish Lakish havisachi biyarden. Reish Lakish is going swimming in the Yarden. The Asar Rabba Bar Barchana, Rabbi Rabba Barchana comes along. I noted in the brackets, Rabba Barchana is Babylonian. Yav layada, and he gives him a hand to come up out of the Yarden. Amar lay aloka sanina luchu. He says, by God, I hate you, he says, which is what you say to people who give you a hand. It's not to be read. People sometimes misread that as Elaka Sanina Luchu. So I made sure to include the exclamation point there. That's not what he's saying. But he says, I hate you. Why? Dichsiv, im chomai nivne ala atiras kasef, im delasina tzura ala eluach ares, pasuk in shira shirim. Im asisem atzmechem kechoma va'alisem kulcham bimei Ezra, if you had made yourselves like a wall and come up from Babel in the days of Ezra, im shaltem kekasef, you would have been like silver. Shein rekev sholeit bo, or rakev sholeit bo, which does not deteriorate. But instead, achshav shalisem kedelasos, you came up like doors, meaning doors made of wood. You are like an erez, sharakev sholeit bo, a door, in the sense that you didn't, as Rashi says, shayar sheyesh bo shnei delasos, poseach echad v'chavero soger. Right, if a doorway has two doors, so you open one and somebody else closes the other, that's more like what the Aliyah was like. Some of them came in and some of them did not come in. If you ever want to read some scathing commentary on that, read Abarbanel to Zechariah and to Haggai. And he has a lot to say on this topic of Jews who did not go to Eretz Yisrael when they had the chance. But in any case, he says to him, Sanina Luchu, he says, I hate you because you did not. You are the descendants of those who did not come back from Bavel. And Rashi there says this isn't simply a statement of, I want you to make Aliyah, but rather there is a more substantive halachic point behind it. It's in Source Dalet. Rashi says, Sanina lechu lechol b'nei Bavel shalo alu b'mei Ezra. Umanu shchina milavo milashuv lishuas b'bayasheni. He says, I'm upset because you kept the shchina from returning to Eretz Yisrael for bayasheni. It's because you didn't all come back. So Rashi seems to support the Chachamim by saying that because the Jews don't fully return to Eretz Yisrael, therefore there is some loss of Kedusha. The Shechina is not manifest in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the truth is he does not make an explicit connection to Kedusha Shnia. He's not really saying there's no Kedusha there. He says the Shechina didn't come back. Nonetheless, that is what it sounds like. It sounds like it's a more technical halachic statement and not simply an open statement. On the other hand, the Rambam and Ramban side with the view of Rabbi Yossi and say the Kedusha remains. I brought you the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira in Source Hey. We won't go through the entire thing now because it's not so relevant, but you can see it there. The Ramban says it in Gittin Lamed Vav, which we do have to get to. But the position that the Rambam takes is that the Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha when they came back for Bayesheni was initiated there, and he then says it is not lost afterwards. The Kedusha remains. The Rambam's position is going to be more complex than that, as we'll have to see, God willing, next week. We're not there yet.
Verify, is Kedusha tied to the whether the obligation is Doraisa or not?
Yeah. The theory would be that if there's no Kedusha, it's not a Doraisa. Only the Rabbanan might have created something. But with the Kedusha, then it would be understood to be Doraisa, although that will be linked to the next question, which is Shemitah linked to Yovel? Is it possible you'll have Kedusha Sa'aretz without actually having Yovel and therefore Shemitah kick in? So that's the second question.
Going back to Rashi and Yuma, does anyone make that clear connection between this and Kedushas Haaretz? Because the phrase that Rashi uses, Lishos Bevai Sheni. So we know that, I think in some respects, the base of Mikdash itself is lacking.
Right, you're missing the Nisim.
In the base of Mikdash itself. So, I mean, maybe that was a deficiency as opposed to the Kedushas Haaretz. You know, who says this is related to Kedushas Haaretz at all?
Right, so I didn't make this link on my own. I think that Tzitz Eliezer was where I saw this, the Tzitz Eliezer that I referred to later.
Yeah.
I think I saw it there. I didn't give you the entire Tzitz Eliezer in the Maror Makomos. I don't know if you looked it up in the original. But I think he was the one who I saw make this link. Because you're right, you could read Rashi without that.
Well, I thought that instead of the time, but he really. Oh, no, that was.
I have to look it up and see, but it wasn't my own connection. Yeah. Okay. The second question is the one that takes us more time. The question of whether Shemitah is linked to Yovel. Yovel itself, we'll see this in a Gemara in Erchin Lamed Beis and Med Beis that we have to get to, but Yovel exists only when we have what we call Kol Yoshveha Aleha, all of the residents of the land there in the land. And we have to talk about what that means, and we want to define that. But you need them, the Jews living there, and in their proper chelek, which we have to talk about as well. So if Shemitah is linked to Yovel, then it's possible to argue neither one actually exists on a Del Risa level today. So the question of whether Shemitah is linked to Yovel seems to be a machlokes tanoim. If you take a look on your sheet, Well, you know what? How did I do this? I brought you the Yerushalmi, but I didn't bring it next. I like the Yerushalmi next. That's funny. If you jump to Sor Zion, please. I should have had that before Sor Zvav. The statement of the Yerushalmi Shvius on this topic. Mikan, the Gemara there... as you see, is talking about Shemitah's Ksafim, Shemitah of money, which really is a whole other topic, but it ties into this, as we'll see. So they say, based on the Pasuk, Hishamar lecha penya devar mlevavcha bilial, right? Be careful that you not resist lending to somebody as Shemitah approaches, because you're worried about losing your loans. So Mikan, from that Pasuk, Sam chula pruzbul shemina Torah. That's the basis for saying Pruzbul, Hillel's device to cause Shemitah not to nullify loans, and therefore causing people to lend money, that's the basis for Pruzbul in the Torah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's a pasuk that says, you know, you should lend people money. It's not a pasuk that says, create a device to thwart Shemitah's Ksafim. The Gemara says, Pruzbul Dvar Torah? Are you serious? Pruzbul is a biblical thing. No. Kishahiskin Hillel samchuhu l'dvar Torah. When Hillel made the takana, he linked it to this biblical principle of make sure people will lend. And this is an idea you see in the Bavli also, although it's stronger in the Bavli. The idea that people were actually violating a de'oraisa by not lending, and so Hillel's takana was meant to protect the de'oraisa. But Amar Rabchuna, Kashyasa kume Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Kemanda Amar Maisros Midivrei Torah, as well as Shemitah, I added in brackets, Vehila Maskin al Divrei Torah. He says, I have a problem for this. I asked this question in front of Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha. Within the view that Shemitah is a de'oraisa, by what right does Hillel create a takana to thwart Shemitah? So Amar Rabbi Yossi answers, V'chi mishah shegalu Yisrael abava lo niftru min ha-mitzvah satlios ba'aretz. He says, what are you talking about? They're pater mideraisa anyway. Once they go to Bavel, that's it. To which the Gemara says, not so fast. Vashmatas ksavim noeg bein baretz bein b'chutz laretz devar Torah. This is Shemitah of money. This isn't Shemitah of land. Shemitah of money applies wherever you are. It's not one of the mitzvos hatzluyos ba'aretz. It's funny because intuitively we link it to Shemitah of land, which is in Eretz Yisrael specifically, but really these are two different mitzvos that happen to occur simultaneously. Right? One mitzvah is the land in Eretz Yisrael should be left fallow. The other mitzvah is that loans that were due before the end of the Shemitah year should not be collected. Right? And the fact... Sorry?
That applies outside?
Yeah. Right. It applies everywhere in the world. We have to talk about that more. But that's the basic principle, that it applies everywhere. So what kind of game are you playing here? So the Gemara says, no, Chazar of Yosiva Omar, it's not true. The two are linked. Because the Pasuk says, V'zeh Devar HaShemitah, when the Torah presents the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim, it says, this is the word of, or the substance of, the message of, whatever, however you want to translate Devar, it doesn't matter for us. But V'zeh Devar HaShemitah, Shamot. Uses this verb, Shamot, a second time after saying, Devar HaShemitah, B'shah HaShemitah Noheges, Devar Torah, HaShemitah's Ksafim Noheges, Bein Baretz, Bein Mechutz Laretz, Devar Torah. When Shemitah applies, meaning Shemitah of Karka, of land, then Shemitah of money will apply even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ubishash Shemitah noheges midivrayim. When Shemitah of land is only derabanan, Hashmatas ksafim noheges bein baretz bein b'chutz laretz midivrayim. Then Shemitah of money applies everywhere midirabanan. So the two, in fact, are linked. Taman Amrin, afilu k'man damar maestros dvar Torah mode b'shemitah shemidivrayim. But then we're told there, meaning in Bavel, because this is in Israel, so there means Bavel. In Bavel, they taught, even within the view that Shemitah, when we say Maestros, we include Shemitah in that, that Shemitah is Deoraisa today, nonetheless, even within the view that Maeser is biblical, I shouldn't link the two there, I'm sorry, that was my mistake. Even within the view that Maeser is biblical today, Shemitah is only going to be Derabanan. Why? Ditani, Vized Dvar HaShemitah Shamot. Rebbe Omer Shnei Shemitin Halalu Shemitah V'Yovel. Rebbe says, when it says HaShemitah Shamot, that refers to the two Shemitos, meaning Shemitah, 7th year, and Yovel, 50th year. B'shah Shayovel Noeg, Shemitah Noeg Dvar Torah. If you have Yovel, then Shemitah applies biblically. Pasku Yovelos, Shemitah Noeg Es Midivrayin. Yovel stops, Shemitah stops, and only applies now Midirabanan. Okay, so what he's doing is he's saying Vized Dvar Shemitah Shamot links Shemitah and Yovel. So the first view that we saw, the view of Rabbi Yossi, was that that Shemitah seems to stand alone. That's what he seems to be saying, although he did not say that explicitly. He never discussed whether we link it to Yovel or not. He just said that when Shemitah applies in the land, Shemitah will apply financially also. That's really all he said. But this second statement that we're making here is that Shemitah depends on Yovel. Amos I pasku ha-Yovelo, so when does Yovel stop? So they quote the Pasuk, right, the Pasuk from the Liberty Bell. I'm talking to Canadians, but the Ukrasem Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh, we have a Texan here. He's a true American. The Pasuk says, you shall proclaim liberty, right, throughout the land, l'chol Yoshveh, for all who dwell there. So bisman she Yoshveh alav, for when they dwell there, lo bisman shegalu mitocha, not when they've been exiled. Hayu aleha, aval hayu mi'urbavin. If they're in the land, but they are all mixed together, shevet Yehuda b'Binyamin, shevet Binyamin b'Yehuda. So yachol yu ayovlos noagin. If they're in the wrong shevet, will Yovel apply? Tamalamar Yosheveha lechol Yosheveha. That's what the kol Yosheveha does. Nimtzei saomer kevan shegalu shevet Reuven v'Gad v'chati shevet Menashe batlu ayovlos. So once we lost the tribes on Eber Hayardin, at that point Yovel no longer exists, and therefore Shemitah no longer exists. And when he's talking about losing those Shvatim, he's talking about when Sancheirev comes through and ultimately exiles not just Eber HaYarden, but the 10 tribes altogether. I'm not clear on why he mentions them first, except that they're the first conquest of Sancheirev. But but according to this idea in the Yerushalmi, we will say that Shemitah is contingent on Yovel. The same idea emerges in the Gemara Moikat and in Source Ches. I'm not going to go through it inside, just in the interests of time. But the Gemara there is talking about what you're allowed to do in terms of taking care of your field during Chol HaMoed as well as during the Shemitah year.
Just on the Yovel, when we said that Yovel was lost, and then that means the Shemitah of Deraisa was gone.
Correct.
It would still be that the
could have Derabanan.
And then also, but then Mamonos also would be Derabanan. Well.
Depending on whether I take the view that was said in the first half of the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yossi's view, that one is contingent on the other. Correct. So the Gemara Moed Katan, I only brought it because it's a Bavli version of this idea of Bezed Var Shmita Shamot. It's attributed to Rebbe. It's important to remember that it's Rebbe speaking there for reasons that we'll get back to. But the same idea that when you are Meshamet Karka, and Meshamet Karka means Yovel, that's a key thing to know. When you are Meshamet Karka meaning Yovel, then you will also have Shmitas Ksafim. That's that Gemara there. And I brought you the Gemara Gittin also, but we'll do the Gemara Gittin inside because we're going to need to see Ramban on it later on. So take a look. Excuse me. So it's test. Yeah.
We just said Shemitah's Karkash versus the Yovel. That's only according to Rabbi Natan. According to Rashi, it's still...
Correct. Correct. We have to come back to that. But 100% true. So if you take a look at source test, Tanan Hossam, Pruzbul Eino Meshamet. Mishnah says Pruzbul prevents loans from being eradicated by Shemitah. Ze'ach min advarm sheskin halazakin. This is one of the things that Hillel did, and you see the Gemara says, because Hillel saw they weren't lending each other, they're violating the De'oraisa, and so on, fine. And then they ask, by what right does he do that? If Shemitah is a De'oraisa, how does he counter that? So the second paragraph that I brought you in Tess, Amar Abaye b'shvius bizman hazeh. So Abaye says, we're talking Shemitah nowadays, v'rebihi. That's within the view of Rebbe. Disanya, as the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer v'zed drash mita shamot b'shtei shmitas hakasim v'daber acha shmitas karka v'acha shmitas ksafim. And the same thing that we just skipped in Source Ches, and that I translated there per Rabbeinu Tam, that it's saying that shmitas ksafim is contingent on Yovel. The quote here is the same. V'takinu Rabbanan d'tishamet zeichel l'shvius. The Rabbanan, the only thing that's added here is that the Rabbanan said there will be Shemitah nowadays, mitu Rabbanan, because we have to remember what the laws of Shemitah are. So the Gemara continues, Ra'a Hillel shimnu amil hava zed zeh. Hillel saw people wouldn't lend each other. Amar v'iskin prosbol, so he created the prosbol. So the Gemara asks, Umi ika midi d'midoraisa lo misham t'shvius v'takinu Rabbanan d'tishamet. He says, whoever heard of such a thing? That you're going to now, not Hillel, we're objecting to the Rabbanan. Right? Midi'oraisa, the loan stands. But I'm going to come along and take your money away from you and say, sorry, you can't collect it anymore. You really get to do that? So Amar Abaye, Shev al Tasehu. Abaye says, sure. They're saying, yeah, don't collect. Rava says, Hefker based in Hefker. Right? The right of the based in to say, this money that you thought you had, you no longer have. And that's a whole discussion about where that comes from. We have different sources for it, which are worth revisiting at some point. But the point is that yes, Rabbanan could create Shemitah. Okay. We still have to see Rashi Rabbeinu Tam about being contingent on Yovel. So this is within the view that Shemitah is indeed linked to Yovel. However, the Sifra indicates otherwise. In Source Yud, the Sifra, the Medrash to Sefer Vayikra, Taras Kohanim, says, Minayin asay shviyas af pishen Yovel. How do you know that we do Shemitah even if there is no Yovel? Talmud Lomer va'yulacha sheva shabsos shanim. The pasuk says, "These shall be for you 7 Shabbatot of years." Right? These shall be for you the 7 shmitos that you will observe, implying separate from Yovel. Va'yulacha yemei sheva shabsos shanim. You shall have these shmitos. Uminayin asay Yovel af pishen shviyas. How do I know you do Yovel even if there was no shmita? Because the pasuk also says teishav arbim shana, independent of whether you had 7 shmitos or not. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chacham omrim shviyas noheges af pi she'ein yovel. V'chacham say no. Shmitah applies even without yovel. V'yovel enu noheg elam ken yeshim o shviyas. But not the other way around. Now, the discussion of whether yovel applies even without shmita and what has to happen and do you need somebody to send away his eved and so on is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a separate piece. But the point here is the view of the Chachamim is presented that the Shemitah will occur even in the absence of Yovel. That seems to be implied in the Gemara in Erchin as well. So now we're going to come back and do that Gemara that I skipped from Source Vav. This is a key Gemara in the whole discussion. Okay. The Gemara in Source Vav. Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi says, and I underlined his name because he's going to be a problem for us. They see it to know. This is Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi talking. He says, Lama manu chachamim es elu. The Mishnah on which he's commenting lists cities that are subject to the laws of Batei Arechoma, the laws of houses in walled cities, in which we're told that if a person sells it, he only has a year in which he can redeem it, and then after that, the house goes over to the person who bought it. It's the opposite of the field situation. In the field situation, you have 2 years that you're not allowed to redeem the field, and then after that, you are allowed to buy it back. With the houses, it's the other way around. And there's a lot of discussion about why the laws of Batei Arechoma are fascinating laws. There's an idea that this is meant to preserve the agricultural character of the Jewish people. Shimshon Rafal Hirsch is very big on that. He says that a house that's in a walled city has been severed from the land. You're separate from agriculture and working the land. And that's not something that we like. We want to promote the idea of people being in touch with the land. There are other explanations that are offered as well. If you take a look at one of the last Toronto Torahs from last year, it was in my Sefer HaChinuch thing. I brought you a couple of different sources on it there. So you Ayin Sham, and you'll see that. You can find those issues online. But in any case, the Mishnah listed cities that are subject to the laws of Batei Arechoma. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi asked, why did they list those? Because when they came back from Bavel, they sanctified these cities. But the earlier cities lost it. When you lost Kedushas Haaretz, those cities lost their status as houses in walled cities. The point is, and the view is, that the initial Kedusha was lost. To which the Gemara says, really? Very many. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. V'chi elu bilvad hayu. I have a brice in which Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says, did they only have these cities? V'alo kvar nemar. Shishim ir kol chevel argov. Kol elav arim bitzuros. And so on. When it's talking about the cities on the other side of the Yarden that they conquered. Ela lama manu chacham mis elu. So why they list these? Shek sha'alu b'nei agola matzu elu v'kidshum. When they came out of Bavel, they found these and sanctified them. Pause. Kidshum. What do you mean? You just told me they don't need to sanctify them. That was your whole point, that the Kedusha was not lost. What do you mean, Kidshum? Elam Naum means they counted them. They listed them. V'loelu bilvad, but not only these. Ela kol shatala lacham misaris biyadcha me'avosach shemukefas chama mimos Yoshua ben Nun kol mitzvahs halalu noagos ba. If you have a tradition that a city had a wall from the time of Yoshua, then all the laws of walled cities will pertain. V'mineshe kedusha rishona kitchel ashaita v'kitchel asad lavo. The original kedusha remained. The only reason why they mentioned these cities in the Mishnah is because they took the trouble when they came back from Bavel to actually list these cities. So somebody sat down and made up a list, so here's your list. But it's not an exclusive list. Other cities are also within this. Clear? Good? So that's his statement, but the original Kedusha remained. So now I have a problem, because I have one brice in which Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says the Kedusha is gone, right? And only that which was sanctified when they came back remains. And I have another brisa that says that the Kedusha remained. So the Gemara says, yeah. Iboy is a matrei tanoi valibad Rabbi Shmuel. Either this is indeed a case in which different Tanam are quoting Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi as saying different things. That's one possibility. Or Iboy is a machad minai Rabbi Lazar Bar Yossi amra. One of them was Rabbi Lazar Bar Yossi, maybe. And that's the idea. Disanya, because I have, in fact, a brisa that says, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Asher lo choma, that's the Kriyan Ksiv, on the walled cities. V'kam abayis asher bazir, asher lo choma, it's written with an aleph, but it's supposed to be Kri, read as though it has a vav. How you read that differently is a good question. Nonetheless, the Afalpish in Lamachsha Vahayalo Kodim Lachain. We read it as though it had the Aleph and say, even if it doesn't have a wall, if it had a wall beforehand, then the laws will apply. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi could be the one who says the original Kedusha remained. All of that is a setup for what's coming next. My time of demand Amar Kedusha Rishona Kitchala Shaita Velo Kitchala Sidlavo. What's the rationale behind the view that says that the Kedusha did not remain? Dichsiv. Vayasu bnei agola hashavim menashvi sukos, right? In the time of Ezra, the exiles who came back made sukkot. Vayeshu b'sukos, and they sat in the sukkos. Kilo asu mimei Yoshua benun kain bnei Yisrael, because Jews hadn't done this since the days of Yoshua. Vadi simcha gedola meod, and there was a great celebration. So the Gemara says, you're kidding, right? No one observed sukkos from the times of Yoshua? David? Shlomo? No sukkos. They just did Pesach. They went to a hotel. What did they do? Efshar ba David v'lo asu sukkos. Ad shabba Ezra. You really expect me to believe that? Ella makish biyasim bimei Ezra le biyasim bimei Yoshua. No. We link their arrival in the days of Ezra with their arrival in the time of Yoshua to say, ma biyasim bimei Yoshua manu shmitin viyovlos v'kitshu arechoma, af biyasim bimei Ezra manu shmitin viyovlos v'kitshu arechoma. That just like in the days of Yoshua, they created Kedusha for the land with Shemitah Yovel and so on, so too when they came back in under Ezra. And that's the idea. Not that the Sukkos were new. It's the whole celebration of returning to Eretz Yisrael that's like the celebration that they had when they came in under Yoshua. Of course, they come in under Yoshua. It's Pesach time, the not Sukkos time. Afal Pichein. That's what the Gemara in Erchin is informing us. And the key is that last line in the that they counted Shemitah and Yovel and sanctified and so on. So the Gemara says, Umi manu shmitin v'yovlos. Did they really count Shemitah and Yovel? Hashta mishagalu shevet Reuven shevet Gad v'chati shevet Menashe batlu Yovlos. They lost Yovel when Sancheirah first conquered Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe, as we've already seen. Right? So at that point, Yovel's gone. So if that's so, when you still have 9.5 Shvatim, you've already lost Yovel, then Ezra dichsiv bei kol ha-kol ke'echad Arba ribo alafim v'shesh meos u'shlosh v'shesh meos v'shishim. The pasuk says that when they come in under Ezra, you have 40,660 people. There's actually more than that when you count Shevet Levi. So you're in the 42,000 and change range. But still, when they come in under Ezra, you don't have anything approaching everybody. So what do you mean they counted Shemitah and Yovel? They have a money. They're counting. Disanya, as the Brisa in fact says, Mishigalu Shevet Reuven Mishevet Gad V'chati Shevet Menashe Batlu Yovlos. They lost the Yovel when those 2.5 tribes left. Shnema Rukosem Dorbarz L'chol Yoshveh, what we've already seen, right? And how they, even if they're mixed together, it doesn't count. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Manu Yovlos L'kadesh Shmitin. So Nachum Bar Yitzchak's answer is, they counted the Yovel only for the sake of sanctifying Shemitah. Now, why do you need to count Yovel in order to sanctify Shemitah? So this goes to a machlokas regarding how we deal with the Yovel year. And that's actually the next topic that I want to discuss once we've done talking to Raisa Derabanan, as I want to discuss this in greater depth. It always confuses me, so I'm hoping that I'll finally get it. But basically, the question is this. You do your 7 times 7 count, right? Year 50 is Yovel. Is that also year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle? Or is it year 0? So your gut answer is probably to say it's year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle. Why wouldn't it be? The Torah doesn't indicate otherwise. But realize the problem that you create if you do that. Right? If year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle is year 50, then move ahead another 7 Shemitah cycles. You know what's going to happen? Your Yovel year is not going to be the year after Shemitah anymore. Right? Because year 1 of the 50-year count was year 1 of Shemitah, right? So now, move ahead another 49 years, right? So you've now 7 cycles out. And your year 50... No.
It'll be the day before Shemitah.
No, hang on. Am I getting it wrong? I told you, this always confuses me. The year...
No, that's...
Yeah, that one is not the problem. That one is the okay one. If year 50 is going to be year 1 for the next cycle, so then you're okay.
Yeah.
Then you're okay. The only problem that you will have is now that you won't have a 6-year gap between one Shemitah and another, but such is life.
You mess up the Meiser cycle.
Right, you mess up the Meiser cycle for sure. Your whole thing about Meiser Ani and Meiser Risha, Meiser Sheni, I should say, is going to be thrown off. But the rest of it should work. In other words, if year 1 is going to be year 50, then that means that year 2 is going to be year 0. Year 2 is going to be year 0 in the 50-year cycle. Yeah, so this does mess you up. I'm good. Year 2 in your Shemitah count is going to be year 0 in your Yovel count.
If it's year 1 for Shemitah, why isn't it year 1 for the next Yovel also?
Because it's Yovel. That is Yovel.
So it can't be year one for the Yovel either.
Yeah. You can't be year 50 and year one at the same time. So yeah, no, this is a problem. What happens is, let's give it real, so not real, but we'll give it the years that we're familiar with in order to make this more clear, okay? This is year 2014. Okay, let's pretend that this year was Shemitah let's say that we're playing with, let's do it this way. 5775 is a Shemitah year. Let's pretend that this was year 49. Okay, 5774 is Shemitah and is also the 49th year. So we're now at the end. We're not really, but let's pretend we are. So 5775 is now your Yovel year, right? So when is your next Yovel? 5625, right? 5625 is going to be your next Yovel year. If 5775 is also my first year of the new Shemitah cycle, right, then 5775, I threw my numbers off. 5775 is Shemitah. So 5776 is the year we're having is Yovel. Right. So it's 6, 7. Here, I'm going to write this down. 5776. Someone's going to listen to this recording. I have no idea why we're so confused. But 5776 is Yovel. 5776, 7, 8, 9, 80, 81, 82 is going to be a Shemitah year. Right? 89 is going to be a Shemitah year. 96 is going to be a Shemitah year. 03 is going to be a Shemitah year. 10 is going to be a Shemitah year. 17 is going to be a Shemitah year. You see where we're going to get into trouble. That means that 24 is now going to be a Shemitah year, but my Yovel year was 5776, which means 5826 is my next Yovel year. There's now a gap in between, if you follow this view. So the other way to look at it, that's if I take this approach, then what it means is that I have an offset now of a year with each Yovel cycle, and Yovel is going to cycle through. It even means that at some point, Yovel will occur during a Shemitah year, which makes no sense. I mean, keep in mind, the Pasuk says, when you worry about how am I going to eat and so on, because I'm going to have 2 years now when I can't plant, that's in Parshas Bahar, right? That is only true every seventh Yovel. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit at all. So what's the alternative? The alternative is that Yovel is actually a dead year. Yovel is not counted in the Shemitah cycle. And then the year following Yovel is year one in your Shemitah count. So every 50 years, you have a year that doesn't actually figure into the Shemitah cycle. This will also solve your problem of the Seder Maisros. You will no longer lose a year in your Meiser Ani, Meiser Sheni count.
Right, but when you look at Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon, it's the Rabbi Damar Shnas Hamishin Ola Lekan Lekan.
Yeah.
Why can't Lekan Lekan mean year 50 and year 1 for Yovel as well?
Well, before I get back to Rabbi Yehuda, I just want to map the two Shitos. Then we'll get to Rabbi
Yehuda. Well, no, but that was the question. The question we just asked Rabbi Yehuda was that Shemitah is always going to be, Shemitah and Yovel are going to be off. Yovel's going to be one.
Well, we didn't ask it Rabbi Yehuda. I'm asking that in general. In other words, I haven't touched Rabbi Yehuda yet.
Okay.
I'm just asking in general, how do you do Yovel? How is this count supposed to work? Like, they taught it to you in grade school, but we have no idea what we're talking about. So the other way to do it is to say that Yovel is a dead year. In which case, the only way that I can actually do Shemitah is going to be if I also keep track of when Yovel is supposed to be. So I know where my dead year in the cycle is. Because every 7 years, Shemitah occurs not in the seventh year, but in the eighth year. You follow? Unless we're going to pretend, there's a third possibility, but no one takes it seriously. Unless you're going to pretend that when Yovel is not observed, then that goes back to being an every 7 years thing. And then when Yovel is observed, then Yovel is a dead year. No one entertains this idea. So now let's go back to our Gemara. This piece in Erechin. What Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak suggests is they weren't observing Yovel, However, they needed to observe Yovel only so that they would know which year was the Shemitah year. They didn't actually do anything for Yovel. Avadim aren't going free, right? Their land isn't going back to the original families. But they're now doing it in order that Yovel so that Shemitah will be in the right year. You follow? That's the statement. To which the Gemara then asks, "Hanechal Rabbanan de Amri Shnas Chamisha Meno Min Aminyan." That's fine if you take the view of the Rabbanan who say year 50 is not part of the count of Shemitah, like I just outlined, right? Shemitah, the Yovel is a dead year. Ela leRabbi Yehuda de Amri Shnas Chamishim Ola leKanu leKan Lamali. But if you take the view of Rabbi Yehuda who says that year 50 in fact counts leKanu leKan, by which we mean it counts as being year 50 of the Yovel cycle, and it also counts as being year 1 of the new Shemitah cycle. That's how I understand Lekanu Lekan. Then Lamali, then why are you counting Yovel? Who cares? Bishmitin Sagi. It's enough to do the Shemitah one. So he says, yeah. Havadit lok Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda will disagree. So Josh, does that follow?
Yeah, but can you also understand Lekanu Lekan is year 50, is year 1 for the Yovel cycle as well?
I think not, because the problem is we didn't go to Rabbi Yehuda's source Gemara. But I think this is the way he outlines it when they're having the debate about whether Yovel counts or doesn't count. In other words, his statement seen in context, very clearly the Kanu Lekan means Yovel and Shemitah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's what it means. We're going to have to see it when we do the next topic, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was in the source Gemara, and that's the way the Rishonim seems to take it here. Did you see something indicating otherwise?
No, I just assumed it was
Yeah, no, I had to go back and see his source, and you'll see. But the Gemara isn't done. Because the Gemara says, really? V'lo manu shmitin v'yovlos. They didn't count Shemitah and Yovel? Is that actually true? Like they weren't really doing it? V'aksiv, this is a pasuk in Tzidkiyahu. Miket sheva shanim tishalchu, I don't remember. Ish es achiv ha'ivri asher yimachar lach. In Tzidkiyahu's time, which is after the Gullus of the Ten Shvatim, they make a decree, okay, now we're all going to be frum. We are going to send away our Avadim, because he's been rebuked by Yirmiyahu for not observing the laws of Shiluach Avadim, of sending away the Avadim. So he says, okay, that's what we're going to do. Va'avinan behu, and the Gemara asks, Miket Sheva Shanim? What do you mean at the end of 7 years? Vaksiv Avachashay Shanim? The Avad Ivri is only supposed to work for 6 years. What is Tzidkiyahu playing at? What do you mean? The Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, so of Nachman Yitzchak explains, no, Sheish Lenimkar Visheva Lenirtza. 6 years for the Eved who has been sold as an Eved Ivri, that's true. However, 7 for the one who had his ear pierced, who is leaving in Yovel. Because that means he's got one more year. In other words, assuming that he has his ear pierced, he's going to be observing at least one more year of slavery. How? In the event that the year in which it was pierced was the year right before Yovel. You follow? It could be many more years, but at least 1 year that he's going to be, and then he'll be freed at the end. So he says, the point isn't that. The point is that out of this we see they're doing Shemitah and they're doing Yovel in Tzidkiyahu's day. So the Gemara's answer is no, they weren't really doing it. Hahu b'tocha chaksiv. That was actually in a rebuke that Yirmiyah gives to him. Amar Navi, hashalachtem. Did you send them away the way that you were supposed to? Not that they actually did. It was a rebuke. You guys didn't do what you were supposed to be doing. To which the Gemara says, but that's not what the pasuk says. Vaksiv, vayishmeu, vayishalchu. The pasuk says they listened and they did it. Obviously they are observing it. Elam, Rabbi Yochanan, Yirmiyah hachziran v'yoshio ben Amon malach aleihen. To which the answer is, you're right. The Aseres Hashvatim actually came back. They were in Golos. You've heard about the 10 lost tribes. However, the 10 lost tribes actually came back. Yirmiyah brought them home. They're not lost anymore. So there. The myth debunked. All those, Jews in India and China and Native Americans who they've, at times identified. No, they actually came home. Sorry, guys. And the Gemara asks, then, how do you know they came back? And it associates it with Psukim and so on. Fine. So the upshot of all of this in this Gemara is that it implies that Shemitah existed even without Yovel. Manu Yovel was the Kadei Shemitah. And they counted Yovel only so that they could observe Shemitah properly. That's one way to read it. However, Rashi disagrees. Rashi in Gittin, I see I didn't bring it here on the page, I should have, but Rashi in Gittin says that actually when it says they counted Yovel in order to sanctify Shemitah, what it means is Shemitah Derabanan. Because even if you're only observing Shemitah rabbinically, you still want to do it in the right year. So Rashi will take the view that this is actually Shemitah Derabanan, not Shemitah Deoraisa. Okay. I thought I had brought it on the sheet, but not. So what emerges from this is that we have a machlokes tanoim going here. We have the Sifra on the one side, and the Yerushalmi in Shvius, and the Gemara in Gittin on the other side, with the potential implication also of Erchin being on the side of the Sifra. The Sifra and Erchin saying, unless I take Rashi's view in Erchin, but otherwise, the Sifra and Erchin saying, Shemitah bezmanazez do'raisa, it's biblical. And then on the other hand, I have the view of the Rishalmi, the Gemara in Mo'i Katan, and the implication of the Gemara in Gittin regarding Prozbul, that it's derabanan. Clear? Okay. Here we need to get into something separate, which is when we say Yovel applies only when you have Kol Yosheveha Aleha, all of her residents there, what does that actually mean? You can't tell me it means that every Jew must be living in the land of Israel, and otherwise Yovel isn't applying. That's nonsense. So the question is, what does it actually mean? So we already saw the Gemara in Erchin and the Yerushalmi Shvius, right? And they said that you can't have mixed Shvatim. Right? The Shvatim have to be in their right chelek. You can't have Shvatim Me'uravim. That was their answer. If you take a look at the Rambam, which I brought you here in Source Yed Aleph from Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, he says, Mishagala Shevet Reuven V'Shevet Gad V'Chati Shevet Menashe Batlu Ayovlos. When those Shvatim went into exile, then Yovel stopped, as we've already said. Ukrasim Dorbaratz L'Chol Yosheveha. So Bizman Shekol Yosheveha Alel. You need to have all of the residents there. They can't be mixed, one tribe with another. Elakulan Yoshvin Kitiknan, each one where it belongs. Bizman Shayovel Noig Bechutzlaaretz, Shnemar Yovel, Bizman Shayovel Noig Bechutzlaaretz, they should have the words added in. Noig Baaretz is Noig Bechutzlaaretz. When it applies in Israel, then it'll apply also outside of Eretz Yisrael, because it says Yovel he, Bechol Makom, whether you have a Beis HaMikdash, don't have a Beis HaMikdash, doesn't matter. Which leads to the question then, so what happens nowadays? Have we reached Kol Yosheveha Aleha? Well, if the Rambam is telling me that you have to have the Shvatim in their right portions, the answer is no. We don't know what Shevet we're from, right? Other than the Kohanim and Leviim, no one has any idea what Shevet they came from. So how in the world are they going to be in their right Chelek? Let alone can we identify the right Chelek, which is another problem. But the idea is the Shvatim have to be in their areas. However, not everybody agrees with this. Tosfos in Gittin disagrees. If you take a look at Source Yud Beis, the Tosfos in Gittin, Bizman, he says, V'had Amar Besof Erchin Manu Yovlos L'Kadei Shmitim. When the Gemara in Erchin says they counted the Yovel only, so that they'd have the right year for Shmita, the Mashma de Yovel Lo Noeg, indicating Yovel did not apply. Hainu lemaide salkadaita hasam meikara delo chazru aseras hashvatim shagalu. That's within the view that the 10 shvatim did not come back. Right? Velo hayu begalus bavel ala beis shvatim. Uksha'alu bebayis sheni lo hayu kol yoshvei ala. Within that view, the Jews who went to Bavel were only 2 shvatim. Right? Because the 10 are gone. And therefore, the Jews who come back under Ezra, bless you, are only the remnants of those 2 shvatim, with a scattering of Shevet Levi. And all the other 10 Shvatim are gone. And therefore you don't have Kol Yosheveha Aleha when they come back. Aval Batosfo says, Bimaskana, in the conclusion of the Gemara that we just read, the Gemara in Erchin, that said that they all came back under Yoshio, Damrina and Yirmiyachzirun v'Yoshio Malach Aleihen, Nimtzu Dahayusham v'Yud Beis Shvatim. So they did have the 12 tribes. Ve'afagav, I bolded it so you'd get it. Ve'afagav shalo alu kulam chashiv kol yosheveha. Even though not all of them returned, that's still called kol yosheveha aleha. Tosfos is satisfied with the idea that you have representatives of the Shvatim living in Israel. Not in their right portion either. Representatives of the Shvatim living in Israel, and that's enough. But then he says it's a problem because he claims Umiyu Kasha Dezilkari Be Rabu de Beza Mani Lakhoyu Be Shvatim. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. It's Pashut that all 12 Shvatim come back. Look at Ezra. Not everybody agrees with Tosos about this, but that's what Tosos says. So the Soloveitchik had a piece on this, which I couldn't find in a source in order to be able to give it to you for the Maor Makomos. I had seen this years ago. And the Rav suggested that the original division of the land, the original Chalukah, was nullified when they went into Galus under Bavel. And when they returned to the land, that is sufficient to create ownership as far as Yovel is concerned. The concern about Shvatim Me'uravin, that they're all mixed together, is only a problem if you have the original division of the land that they did under Yoshua. But that's Batel anyway. So when they come back, you don't need to fit the way it was under Yehoshua. It's brand new. Your presence in Eretz Yisrael is brand new. So therefore, all the laws will apply under this new chazaka without being in the right shevet. So that's the way that the Rav explained the position of Tosfos here. A very interesting idea. I wish I could find it in the original in the Rav. It may be as simple as in the Grach al Hashatz. I don't know. But I can't find it yet. This week hasn't been a good week for finding things. But in any case, that's the position that you just need the representative of each shevet living in Eretz Yisrael. And then there's another view, which I don't really know what to do with. And it's traced to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in Kol HaTor, which is a fascinating read in its own right. But in Kol HaTor, Aleph Tesvav, and then he has a longer discussion about it in Beis Kuf Yudches, talks about the idea of bringing 600,000 Jews to Eretz Yisrael as being of special importance because you had 600,000 men of military age when they came out of Mitzrayim and then, you know, go towards entering Eretz Yisrael. The number is not precise there. But based on that, take a look at this Tzitz Eliezer that I brought you in Source Yud Gimel. He says, I'm going to tell you something new here. That really the number that matters for triggering Yovel is 600,000 Jews. Like you had when they conquered the land, you had 600,000 soldiers. All you need is 600,000. You don't need Shvatim in their chelek. No. Since they didn't have that in Ezra's day, right? Why he's leaving out the Levium, I'm not sure. Except because of the quote that we saw before that used that number. You didn't even have the majority of 600,000. So therefore, their kedusha that they gave did not suffice in order to trigger Truma and Meiser. That's the idea that the Gra has. And he says, where did I wake up to this? From Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, Vinis Orarti Lechidush Ze Al Pim Arganisa Tava Shematsasi Bezeb Chidush Rabbeinu Gershom Or Agola Al Erchin Yud Lamed Beis Mud Beis. He says, I found this based on a comment that Rabbeinu Gershom made on that Gemara and Erchin. Etc. Right, the next line and a half here. He says, on that line in Erchin, Mefarish Rabbeinu Gershom Bekosev is Elashon. Rabbeinu Gershom explains the following. Kol hakol ke'echad arba ribo. That all together you just had 40,000 Jews. Da'afilu isur miyisrael lo hayu bimekoman. You didn't even have a tenth of the Jews in their place. Da'achi gemiri, because this is what we've learned. Ein Yisrael p'chusim mishishim ribo. They're not called the Jewish people if you have fewer than 600,000. Kol shkent lomano yovlos, you're certainly not doing yovel. That's Rabbeinu Gershom on the daf on that gemara. Harei Rabbeinu Gershom or agola zal midei dabro al yirushas ezra umidas kedusha sa. They're not called Yisrael if there are fewer than 600,000. He used that as his measuring stick. You didn't have even a tenth of the Jews. Ubolet efo le'ein le'ein de Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola ratzel hashmienu bedvarav ele ki anitzrach lios ba'aretz kedei sheyechashev shekol yoshvei aleha hu shishim ribo v'raya chazaka mizeh efo ledvareinu anal. So he says this is a good support for what we're saying. Rabbeinu Gershom, the Gra is great, but if I can put it back to Rabbeinu Gershom, That's solid. And then he continues to say, he's speaking to his questioner, Rav Agona, Shoel Achrei Shirachi Dushi Hanal, the questioner saw him, he had written this up elsewhere, so Begeder B'yas Kochem, He Sevet Sumet Libi Gam L'Divrei Rashi B'Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So he turned me to my attention to Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Shemaz Gir Nami Inyan Zesh Shishim Ribo, B'Hadisurya V'Kibush Yachid. Rashi there says that the conquest of Surya by David HaMelech is a private kibush, and he notes the lack of shishim riba. It's a private conquest, and therefore certain rules of kedusha don't apply. So he says, my questioner wanted to support me by quoting this Rashi. But he says, that's not really such a good proof. Vashivosiv, de imi shumha bilvad ein hechwech lechidushenu. That alone would not suffice. Why? Kibarashi amaduber baldas kama miyisrat tzarech shiyah kibush ad shiikari kibush rabim balzek kavashu shishim ribo. Because what Rashi is talking about there is the difference between kibush yachid and kibush rabim, private conquest versus public. Aval ein mizeh adena hochacha leinyan din atzrachas kol yoshveh aleha. That doesn't necessarily tie into kol yoshveh aleha. The definition of kibush rabim and kibush ra'aleh may not be the same thing. That's his response. He says that don't necessarily prove anything from there. He also brings you further in Yud Aleph. He brings the Yeshua's Malka, who also assumes 600,000 is the number. And then in Yud Beis, he says in that case, bottom line, and this is his point, Truma today should be De'oraisa, wherever we have actually settled in Eretz Yisrael, because we have more than 600,000. So therefore you should say that the Truma is actually De'oraisa Bizman Hazeh. Unless you're going to say you require a Melech and a Navi. That's a separate thing.
I mean, I don't know we're going to talk about this, but certainly according to other opinions, replying on the Rambam, he's conflating two issues. He's conflating Kol Yosh Ve'Alah with B.S. Kulchem.
Yes.
Are not necessarily... As Rukhaim,
that's Rukhaim's Kiddush.
Right, that they're not the same issue.
Right. So hold that question for next week, because I want to get to that. It's a solid question, 100%. So now what we've done is we've defined Kol Yoshveha Aleha somewhat. We at least see three different possible definitions, right? And we've said that according to some Tanoim, Shemitah will not apply until you have Kol Yoshveha Aleha, because Shemitah is linked to Yovel, and Yovel is linked to Kol Yoshveha Aleha, which may need 600,000, in which case we could say, check. It may need living in your proper shevet, in which case, lots of luck. So that's going to be a very big question for us. You know, notwithstanding the fact that we have the Sifra and possibly Erchin saying it's D'oraisa even without Yovel. But if I say it is dependent on Yovel, then I've got to ask the question, so is it going to apply or is it not going to apply? So that's where we need to go with this. So I realize we're already at the 1 hour mark, which is really too bad because we've covered a lot of what we need to cover in order to hit the next stage. But I'm going to stop with that for now. Next week, God willing, we will go through the rest of this topic, including the Rambam view also. And I'll send out more Maor Makomos to tie into that. And hopefully we'll also start, well, I don't know about in Shir, but at least in Maor Makomos, we'll also start the next topic within this discussion of, so how do you know when it is? Because the Rambam's view on this is really a remarkable view about this question of whether year 50 is year 1 in the Shemitah cycle or not. And that requires quite a bit of exploration. So God willing, that will be this year next Friday. This week hasn't been great for getting learning done, since I couldn't even hold a sefer until yesterday. But hopefully I will have a chance to send a Maor Makomos sometime between today and Sunday. We'll see. Okay. Shkayach.